On anxiety, as we did on biblical leadership. But it'll be a good 2-3 weeks, and we're going to start in Philippians chapter 4. So the purpose of this series is to help the men in our audience, as well as those watching online, to understand the dangers of anxiety, because I think a lot of guys who don't struggle with anxiety, you know, the strong, confident type that maybe just God has designed a certain way where they're not really scared of much. They just do what they do, don't think about the consequences, just, you know, like a bull in a china shop. Anxiety's not their problem. They got other problems. It's hard for them to relate to other guys who do struggle with anxiety. And men, like I just described, often see those who struggle with anxiety as almost a weaker version, right? They look at these guys and say, oh, you're a bunch of cowards and weaklings and can't handle life. And it's not about weakness or strength. It's about the way God designed us, understanding how we're designed and understanding how to move forward successfully the way we were created. And if you don't understand anxiety, it's going to be really hard, first of all, to sympathize with men or women or children who struggle with anxiety. I think, secondly, to be able to help them. What do you think, Jordan?
That's what I was going to say, was even though some may not deal with it directly, they don't know how to minister to those who are anxious. I think that could be applied to anything. People that don't deal with anger like others do, or whatever it is, it's like if you don't deal with it the way I do, well, you're wrong, I'm right, so you just need to deal with it the way I do. Well, no one deals with things the same way that everyone else does. Everyone deals with things differently. I think the best thing that we can do is just understand that not everyone deals with this things the same way, and how do we get them from where they are to where they need to be?
Yes, you know, and I agree with you, Jordan. It's not that there's a one-size-fits-all really with anything, but there is a Bible we can look to, and we can ask ourselves, and Ethan, glad you're joining us tonight, bud. Ethan was getting our setup on the sound, which is why he's showing up now. There is a Bible that we can look at. There is verses we can evaluate. There is principles in the Bible. Now, once we step outside the Bible, we have to clarify that what we discuss is experiential, personal preference. But when it comes to Scripture, we can clarify this is what the Word of God says and how we should respond accordingly. Mm-hmm. Ethan, have you found in your life as a youth pastor, teenagers more or less struggling with anxiety? This year versus 5 years ago, last 2 years versus 10 years ago when you were a teenager, what's your experience?
I think it's always been there, but it's been either, I think it's been more magnified. I think the stress has always been there, but it's been magnified. Maybe more because they're experiencing it sooner in their, like earlier in age.
I know that I was a youth pastor back in the early, mid 2000s, 2005, 2010, up to, you know, about 14, 15, and anxiety was an issue, but it seems to me in the last 5 years, and we're talking even before COVID-19. COVID-19 has just made it worse.
Right.
Even before 2020, the amount of teenagers, middle schoolers, and even elementary students who have severe anxiety seem to be significantly higher, you know, much more of them than there was 10 years ago.
Okay, I agree with that. I think the factors for anxiety have changed more. That's what I'd say. Like, maybe before it used to be like pressure to, you know, not be in the gangs or not be part of the party scene, not to be, you know, like the quote unquote the big heavy stuff that everybody thinks about. But now it's more stuff that they worry about, things that adults worry about.
Yes, yes, like, they do. Finances.
Like, we have, like, literally there's kids I've talked to. They worry about, like, oh, I don't know if I can go to this party. Why do you worry about this party? Well, because, you know, my parents work, and I don't know if we're going to have money for next. Like, whoa, why? Whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's on one hand, you're like, okay, that's really cool that you thought about that. But also, like, their minds are tracking into deeper territory than, like, all of a sudden needs to go. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying and agree. I do find as well a lot of teenagers, when I have conversations with them, they are talking about fears and anxiety about things that really shouldn't be on their shoulders, as I just stated. I mean, the weather,
yes,
you know.
Yeah.
You know, let your parents concern themselves about how to prepare the house for weather, what needs to be done. You know, a 12-year-old shouldn't have to be freaking out about a coming hurricane. They should be able to trust their parents and let the parents do the freaking out, right? Any freaking out has to be done. You've talked about, you know, money for parties. I've talked with teenagers who are just concerned all around about money for lunch, money for, and it's not because the parents say we don't have it. They've got money, but they're concerned that when they were given the money, the parents don't have it to give to them.
In fact, that's one of the blessings and curses for the newer, I guess the younger side of generation, I guess middle to younger side of Generation X is that, not Gen X, sorry, Gen Z, because they've been noted that, it's noted that these, this generation, they're very concerned about security, like financial security, which go figure, that's what they're world surrounded with, you know, the whether it's the American politics or the housing market, you know, like that is one of the things that marks the current younger generation is their desire for security, not necessarily because they want to have money, like so they can spend it all, but so they can like be okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. All right, so let's talk about anxiety as a whole. And so again, I believe a room this size is going to be men in this room who know what anxiety is. You've dealt with it in your life or the life of a loved one, but there's also probably men in this room who wouldn't have a clue. If you had a child with anxiety, you wouldn't know how to help them. If your spouse suffers with anxiety, you wouldn't know what to do with them. So one of the most probably well-known verses regarding anxiety, Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, be careful. That word careful could be flipped out with anxious, so don't be anxious, right? Be careful or anxious for nothing. Basically, don't be anxious is what it's saying. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So here's the thing about anxiety. For those of you that don't really understand it, it is the opposite of peace. So peace is this is overwhelming feeling of everything's okay, I'm going to be okay. Even if you're, you know, a soldier in the middle of battle, they have peace. It's not that they have peace with the knowledge they're going to survive the battle. They may or may not survive that war, but they have peace that whatever happens, I'm okay with. Peace doesn't mean everything's okay. Peace means you're okay regardless of what everything is going on. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is the opposite of that. Anxiety is you're in the store and you feel anxious and you don't know why. Anxiety is you're going to a birthday party with a bunch of friends that you've known for 10 years, and as your parents are letting you out of the car, that teenager's feeling anxious as they're walking to a house they've walked into for countless times to hang out with friends they've known since they were an infant, and they feel anxious going into that house. It's the opposite of peace. Anxiety is the adult who is at work and their boss sends them a text and says, hey, can you come to my office? And you've done nothing wrong. Everything's going great. But immediately, you're anxious about what do they want to talk to me. Now, it just could be, hey, we want to go to lunch. You want to join us. But as you're way to the office, you're sweating bullets, right? So anxiety, the opposite of peace. For those of you that have struggled with anxiety, that is a rough way to live. To have peace eliminated from your heart, from the way you feel, from the way you think, from the way you act. To not have peace is to basically live in constant fear. And that is what anxiety is living in constant fear, a lack of peace. So Jordan, let's get honest today. Have you struggled with anxiety? Is that something you personally have to battle? If not battle, has it something you had to deal with ever in your life?
Not until a few years ago.
Until you came here and started working for
me? Yes. I want to admit it in front of everyone. You know?
Okay, let's just be honest here. Come on.
No, I think my previous job caused some anxiety, but it wasn't just like a scenario.
You were a first responder in your previous job.
Yeah, but it wasn't necessarily like a specific, you know, moment, you know, that I saw or whatever. It was more like mine actually happens in the middle of the night. Hmm. I'll wake up and just drenched in sweat, and I'll be utterly anxious, like fearful almost, and I'll have no link to it whatsoever, just utterly anxious. I don't know why. I'm getting chilled. It's overwhelming sometimes. And so I don't have them as much anymore, but certainly, you know, a few years ago, it would happen twice a week. Now it's, you know, once every few months, but
What is it that you think has diminished the amount of times you've had anxiety attacks?
I think recognizing it is one thing. Realizing that it's real and not avoiding it. To understanding what the problem really is, which again, I don't exactly have any link to. I don't have an event that happened. There's there's nothing that
right. No trauma.
No. There's really nothing. Not one thing. But I think also, and it may just sound really simple, but not trusting in myself to solve the anxiety that I feel, but really just resting that the Lord is not anxious and he doesn't worry. So amen. I don't have to either.
Amen. That's great.
And so, another thing is I missed out on a lot of I don't know how to explain it. It's really hard to explain because like mine is different. I'm not saying that mine's exclusive, but mine would be different than your normal anxiety case.
You know, Jordan, I would say though that probably a lot of people would say that there is really no typical. You can go down a list of here's all the reasons why you'd have anxiety and how you can do it. It's going to look different for everyone, a combination of different things. I know with me, I didn't suffer with anxiety. As a teenager, as a kid, young adult, I was a pretty confident young man. Didn't really care too much about what people thought about me. I was okay with who I was. And then I turned about my mid-20s, and then I had anxiety attacks. And it wasn't at night like you. It was during the day. And it was often when I was talking to people who I already knew. Like I said, friends, you know, going to that birthday party, whatever. As a young adult, it was going to church. So I'd be talking to someone like Ethan right here, and then out of nowhere, in the middle of the conversation, have an anxiety attack, and my face would just, like, the whole side of my face would start twitching, like, just moving, and my eye would twitch really bad, so bad, like, I'd have to stop talking and do this just because it was embarrassing, and the embarrassment caused my anxiety to shoot up more.
Right.
And so I was at a point, I'm a youth pastor at a church, I was at a point where I was afraid to talk to people because I didn't want to have that panic, that anxiety attack, while I'm talking to one of my best friends. It's embarrassing. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was causing it. I had no trauma like you. There was no event in my life that had triggered anxiety. Come to find out, years later, went to the doctor, and it had been happening for well over a year, a couple of years. And it wasn't every time I talked to someone. It just came out of nowhere. But a doctor diagnosed me with a disease, hyperthyroidism. And come to find out, hyperthyroidism affects a lot of things chemically in your body and can spur on anxiety attacks. And so by changing my diet and then, again, like you, recognizing it for what it was, I just thought I was going crazy. I'm thinking, I'm way too young to go crazy. I'm in my mid-20s. What's wrong with me? And so once I realized, oh, this is a medical condition. There's nothing wrong mentally with me. There's nothing wrong spiritually with me. It was a physical condition, chemical condition. Mm-hmm. When I saw it for what I was, I was able to use some of the helps we're going to give today to deal with it. Also, changing my diet and helping my medical condition also brought down my anxiety levels. To this day, they're very, very rare. Not that I can't have them, but it's few and far between when I have those anxiety attacks now. So, Ethan, how about you?
When we said we're gonna talk about this tonight, and then you said that we were gonna be up here, I was like, I don't know if I've ever really had an experience with anxiety. I've definitely had like moments of like fear, or even like seasons where I was like fearful of certain different things, whether it was like at home, with my relationship with my dad, that was like really no bueno. So I had the fear associated with that. In college, I think the closest I've ever been to having anxiety would be like once or twice during college when I had some serious burnout times. Like,
yeah.
I burned out really hard like twice in college.
Yeah.
And anytime you burn out, everything, like whatever, whether it's like an emotional thing or like an actual sin habit, it expands that. So I think I definitely had moments of that in college. Like, I remember like I'm thinking times like I was afraid, like literally I didn't want to leave the room because I thought like, well, what else could possibly go wrong today? Like, but not in just like a, oh, great. But like, literally, I was like, man, like, what's going to happen next? Like, someone's going to pass away, my family, or, you know, just like literally like a day where I'd be afraid to leave my room or like answer my phone or even look at it, you know, because if I was afraid to get another text from someone that has more work for me or something. But not necessarily something I've struggled with.
Experience might be closer to what a lot of men in this room and online are listening to. It's not that they've struggled with anxiety due to medical reasons or, you know, you're not really sure what spurs you're on. We're not sure medical or otherwise. But for a lot of people who struggle with anxiety, it's actually part of their personality, and it's a common, regular occurrence. You're probably the more norm where it's just caused by an overwhelming feeling of you got too much on your plate. There's too much going on, and you just don't know how to handle it.
Right, exactly. So if I were to pinpoint where mine came from, it came from a point of I had exhausted myself physically and emotionally, and I wasn't taking in enough spiritually on top of that. You know, like not that, you know, all those facts put together created the perfect storm.
All right, so let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. It is not God's desire that we struggle with anxiety. So that's a great place to start. For those who have anxiety, when I had it, I asked, am I crazy? Am I normal? Is this how it should be? You're not crazy if you struggle with anxiety. It's God created you a certain way where your personality is more prone to anxiety. There's other reasons. Medical, I mentioned that was mine. Trauma, you said that wasn't what happened to you, but that is a possibility. A traumatic event in your life can cause anxiety. It could just be a series of other factors we'll talk about that can result in anxiety, but it's not what God wants for you. So know that today. If you have children who struggle with anxiety, it is not what God wants for them. You have someone in your life that you care about, that you love. God has something better for them. That doesn't mean that God's going to remove their anxiety completely. What it does mean is God has some tools for you to not allow anxiety to control you. And that's the key, guys. The key is not teaching someone how to eliminate anxiety altogether. Mm-hmm. The key is teaching someone how to live a successful emotional, health, spiritual, and physical healthy life in spite of the anxiety in your life, knowing how they can overcome it, knowing how they can confront it, and God's word wants that for his people. The very first help he gets is in these verses, and he says, when you are struggling with anxiety, medical, traumatic, personality-based, whatever reason it might be, when you're struggling with anxiety, what is one of the first things that you should be doing?
Pray.
Go to God in prayer.
Talk to God.
Right? Go, bring it to God in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Because remember, anxiety is the lack of what? Peace. Basically, you can only have one or the other. You can't have both. You can't have anxiety and peace. You can't have peace about a friendship and be anxious about a friendship. One is going to eliminate the other. And so God is saying that I want to give you peace. Later on in the verse, he says, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds. And by the way, anxiety affects both.
Yep.
Anxiety affects the mind, causes you to think thoughts you shouldn't be thinking. Your brain, your mind takes you into some very dark places when you're anxious, but it also affects the heart. And in the Bible, the heart is often referred to the emotional well-being of the individual. Mm-hmm. And the emotions of the soul of us is affected deeply by anxiety as well as our thoughts. And they feed off each other and spiral downward. God wants to give peace to the mind and the emotions. And he says, I offer that to you when you bring your anxiety to me through prayer with thankfulness. Don't come to prayer blaming God for all the problems in your life, blaming God for how he made you. You know, God, why did you make me with this personality? You know, what you might call it, disorder or defect, or God, why did you allow this trauma in my life? What's wrong with you, God? Don't go to God accusing. Go to God thankful, if nothing else, thankful that he's there to listen. Mm-hmm. Thankful that he loves us, right? Thankful that he saves us. So be thankful in your prayer. And then it says, let your request be made known. What does that mean? Bring your anxiety to God. Bring your concerns to God. And then, as we're talking with God, God will replace our anxiety with peace. Now, that is not the only thing that we do. Again, we're going to give you some other helps. The three of us will give some other ideas to you guys tonight and the coming nights. But it is a good thing. The best thing. Definitely the first thing. Be prayerful with a thankful heart and ask God to replace your anxiety with peace. It doesn't mean it'll be permanent. You may have to make that prayer again in 2 hours, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months. It'll depend on the person. But when the anxiety comes again, you pray the same prayer again. Jordan, what do you think?
I think that this remedy could be for any emotion that you deal with. And basically, that's exactly what verse 6 is talking about. You are exchanging your emotions for God's. You're saying, God, I know I feel this way, and this could be the reason why. Exchange it for your peace. That's essentially what you're praying.
Yes.
And I think, I know this isn't what you read, but I think verse 8 and 9 are also very vital, because verse 8 tells us what to think on, and that's rarely what we actually think
about.
Why
don't you read those verses?
Yeah, so verse 8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever, and by the way, rarely, like for me, I know one thing that always came to my mind when I had those anxiety attacks in the middle of the night was my heart, for some reason.
You thought you were having a heart attack?
I literally felt like my heart was going to explode. Like, I don't know why. It just felt like it was going to literally jump out of my chest.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, my emotions were not matched to what was true.
They were lying to you.
Yeah, they were lying to me. So whatsoever things are true, if I can just go through the list.
Please do.
Honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. So you're basically taking the things that you know, what is true, and measuring if it's actually reality, and then accepting what is true and ignoring what is false.
Amen. That's great.
I think that actually, of course, God gives the peace, but I think that's the channel or that's the avenue in which he does give peace. It's not just a magical experience.
You
know, magical dust
Pixie
that he sprinkled. Yeah. It is actually the truth of God.
Amen.
That brings peace.
Replacing the lies of anxiety.
Yes.
Because that's what anxiety
right.
eliminates peace by convincing you of lies.
Right.
But now, there is something to be said, though. There are times where you're anxious about something that really is a problem.
Right.
And so you need to be able to separate what is true anxiety. I mean, you're anxious because this person's chasing you with a knife. Well, there's a reason to be anxious for that, right?
Right.
So you need to have the wisdom to know when my anxiety is telling me the truth, I have a reason, you know, to flee, right? The feeling of fleeing has a realistic foundational truth to it, as opposed to a lie and deception that our emotions are trying to get me to believe that are wrong, and you got to separate the truth from the lies.
Yeah, and as a deep feeler, this speaks to me not just, and really doesn't really speak through anxiety, because I don't exactly deal with that as much, but through other emotions that I deal with. I have to almost stop myself in the middle of how I feel and measure and see, Lord, is this true? Mm. If it is, my emotions don't really deal with things that are clear, danger or whatever. It's actually, I deal with it through truth. So truth is always the cornerstone of how to deal with emotions and situations.
That's great, because you're right, because anxiety, even if it is true, is going to want to convince you to hide in a corner somewhere in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you can prayerfully consider, all right, my anxiety is actually telling me the truth. That is a real problem. I'm not going to let my anxiety tell me how to deal with it, though.
Right. Right. Anxiety teaches you to flee. Truth teaches you to stand, and not necessarily that you're necessarily dealing with it, but God is dealing with it through his truth and through you indirectly.
Amen. Okay, so let's talk about what are the dangers of anxiety, because if you don't really understand how destructive anxiety can be, you're going to look at your child, teenager, middle school, elementary, and say, oh, you know, they struggle with anxiety, no big deal, they'll be fine, they'll grow out of it. And the problem with that philosophy of they'll grow out of it is probably what's going to happen is they'll grow into it deeper.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time you finally say, whoa, I got to help them, like, you know, they're so old, you know, teenager, young adult, middle-aged, married, you're like, I don't know what to do with this person. Yeah, because you were hoping for the best for 5, 10, 20 years, and you wasted time. So to those parents here in the audience listening online, if a young child is struggling with anxiety, do not wait until they're 15 to start helping them. Give them the helps we're going to give you over the next few nights. Give it to them now at 5 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old. Don't wait. But the danger, the temptation to wait is strong when you don't recognize how destructive anxiety can be. So let's talk about this. The first real problem with anxiety is missed opportunities. So when you feel anxious, you don't have peace, you have fear, and if you have fear, you're going to be afraid to do anything. I mean, we're talking about, you know, you're afraid to go to a birthday party. So your best friend has a party. Sorry, I can't go. Why? Oh, mom said I got to clean the house. That's not true. You're making up a lie. This teenager's lying. So they don't look bad to their friend. Really, they're just scared to go to the party because there's going to be one person there out of 12 they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And they're so anxious to be at a party with even one new person that they're going to miss the opportunity to connect with their friends and stay home instead. They're going to be too anxious to go to college. You know, they're 18. Oh, man, I really want to be an engineer, but I'm too anxious to leave home. So I'll try, you know, learning engineering from home, you know, see how that works for you. And so there's a missed opportunity of a career choice because of anxiety. Anxiety will cause people to miss opportunities when it comes to relationships. You know, they're going to have missed relationships where someone that they could have been a lifelong friend now becomes an unknown individual, because that person says, look, I used to be friends with you. You never call me. You never text me. Mm-hmm. You never spend time with me. I don't feel like we're friends anymore. It's not because, you know, this person here with anxiety doesn't want to be friends. They are just so fearful that they don't know how to be a friend, and their anxiety is controlling that friendship and actually destroying that friendship. Ethan, have you recognized in teenagers that those who struggle with anxiety are often self-destructing and missing out on opportunities where they could be successful?
Yes, 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 yes. Like this number two here, like if I sit down for like just 5 minutes and think about all the teenagers in like the past 2 years, like I will like start bawling, because it is very frustrating. It's heartbreaking to see that a teen struggling with something that the warning signs usually happen when they're young. If they're struggling with a teenager, mm-hmm. the chances are they struggle. The warning signs
happen. It was already there.
It was already there. And so by the time they get 14, 15, 15, 16, like they've already developed a way to cope with it. And usually the way they cope with it is not, they're not coping with it. They're feeding it by running away.
Running away. Yes. And running and hiding.
And these are the teens that today are the teens who struggle with, I mean, we don't have to open Pandora's box, but they struggle with a multiplicity of sins because they didn't have someone who was willing to fight with them through their anxiety to overcome, you know, their fear of, you know, the relationships.
Yeah. So. And the problem is, men, it's not just teenagers, it's adults.
Yes.
Don't think, I mean, if a child doesn't grow out of it when they become a teenager, don't be so foolish as to think a teenager will grow out of it when they become an adult. It doesn't work that way. You'll just take it with you into deeper levels.
You were a dorm supervisor at college.
I was, yes. So,
and if you saw guys who struggled with this
in
college.
Yes, I did.
They were like, they'd go to class and then they go back to the room because
they didn't want to be around people.
They didn't want to be around people.
Yeah.
And
it's not just that, guys. I see it in church. I see adults even in church who, you know, don't want to be part of fellowships. They want to sit off on their own. They like the idea of worshiping God. They want to be part of worship, but they want to be part of worship by being apart from worship.
Yeah.
It's not because they're wicked people. It's their anxiety levels are so high, it messes with them emotionally and in their thought life, and they just don't know how to respond to it. Yeah. If that's you, there is an answer. We're going to give you those answers. Again, we're just going over the dangers of it right now. So number one was missed opportunities. Number two is lost friendships. And notice I said lost, because here's the thing about anxiety. Little kids who have anxiety often are able to kind of cope through it even better than teenagers, because little kids are kind of oblivious to a lot of things, even, you know, self-awareness is almost lacking in a child.
Yeah.
So they know that they feel weird around their friends, but it's kind of like, well, I'm here, I'll just do what I'm doing. Once they hit middle school, high school, and they feel things deeper, they also feel anxiety deeper.
Mm-hmm.
They feel fear deeper on different levels for different reasons. And so a child will often be able, in my experience, be able to handle anxiety better than a middle schooler or a high schooler. And so what you find, a pattern, is children making friends who have anxiety, but they're able to do the bare minimum to make friends. Mm-hmm. And then when they hit middle school, they lose all the friends they made in elementary. And then in high school, whatever few, one or two friends they had left, now they're gone because they never learned how to cope with anxiety. By the time they're an adult, they're just so jaded with the world, like no one loves me, no one cares about me. They don't even try to make friends now as adults, and they're just friendless. It's not because they're horrible people. It's because no one helped them confront and overcome their anxiety.
For someone like myself and Jordan and some of the dads in here who have like younger kids, what are some of like classic warning signs or classic signs?
Sure.
Of anxiety?
So remember, anxiety is the lack of peace or basically fear. And you have to understand that everyone should have some level of anxiety when there is real danger present.
Right.
If you don't have a sense of anxiety with real danger, there's probably something else going on. You know, you someone who's maybe on the spectrum, autistic, they kind of generally, that individual doesn't really have a true awareness of what's going on. But someone who's maybe healthy in all aspects, physically, mentally, and emotionally, is going to have a level of anxiety when there's true danger. So if you have a young child who's having that danger fear when there's no danger, then probably a couple things is going on. One, they have anxiety, or two, they experience trauma. And their trauma at a young age was so severe, now they see danger in places where it does not exist. And so the trauma is resulting in anxiety. It's not a personality scenario. It's not that God created them that way. With you know, we all have our strengths and weaknesses, and that's not their weakness. It's a result of trauma. If it's not trauma-based, and that's just how they are, it's a part of their personality, when you see a 3-year-old, 5-year-old, 8-year-old getting scared at things that shouldn't scare a 3, 5, or 8-year-old, it's very, very likely that child has anxiety.
Hmm. That's helpful.
Unfounded fear in things that should not scare them.
Okay.
By the way, you know, we often think trauma is related to, like, sexual abuse, physical abuse. Let me tell you, in a young child, 5 years old, trauma could be something as simple as watching a movie that their brain couldn't process, mm-hmm. and it traumatized them.
Yeah.
They saw a video on YouTube that, to us, we look at and say, whoa, that scared me. Whoa, it jolted me. And the kid has nightmares for days. You know, the classic one where you watch this car drive through, and all of a sudden this, like, demonic thing pops on the screen. Ah! You know, going this, and you, like, fall out of your seat. Like, what in the world? Right? And you laugh. Do that to a 4-year-old, you're going to traumatize the kid.
Yes.
And so we often think, well, my kid hasn't experienced trauma. You know, no one's touched them inappropriately. No one's hurt them. I've never abused them. You know, what are they watching on the iPad? What are they watching at their friend's house? What are they seeing? What are they hearing? What are they experiencing? That causes trauma, too.
I was actually going to mention that earlier, that it doesn't help the fact that parents allow their children to have unlimited access to
Internet.
To the Internet. I mean, they're and actually, you guys were talking about how the difference between teenagers today or kids today and, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Well, really, they didn't have a ton of access, especially it was kind of a new thing, phenomenon.
I was born in the 80s. In the 90s, I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a cell phone until I graduated college in 2005.
Yeah.
And my cell phone didn't have the Internet like it has today.
Was it like one of those bricks?
It wasn't
bad.
Let me also tell you about the Internet, Jordan. From my experience as a child, we were playing Pong, and that was the cool game. And the Internet was like only businessmen had the Internet, honestly, in the late 80s, early 90s. Only companies and offices had the Internet and full access. So, yeah, in my childhood, it wasn't a problem.
Right. I think the anxiety for a lot of – and I don't know, but I'm just assuming that is they compare themselves to other people that
social media is so detrimental.
I'm not as pretty as this person.
That traumatizes you, for sure. Yeah.
And so – or you know, they see things that they shouldn't see or have access to things.
Right.
I mean, that brings upon a lot of anxiety. I also think – parents ignoring the emotions of their children also brings upon anxiety, because if you just miss it as just a phase, they're just going through something. You'll grow up and someday you'll get better or something like that.
You'll balance out.
Yeah, it'll get better later on. I mean, that also makes them feel, well, no, that's not true, and they're going to go in their 20s feeling the exact same way, and then eventually feeling, well, there just must be something wrong with me, because it didn't even out later on.
So we're out of time, and this has been a great conversation. I may be wrong. This may be 3 or 4 conversations at the speed we're going, but let's end with this. When it comes to children, what I said, either you're created, God designed you, or that's just part of your personality, and for some of us, that is the case. It is just integrated into us. We're born anxious people. That's not me, but I know someone that is that way, very close to me. Not my wife, but someone that, you know, that's basically born. Anxiety is just a part of how they function, and that's okay. They can get over it. They can overcome it, and it doesn't have to control them. But for most people, it was triggered by something, triggered by a medical condition like mine, or triggered by trauma. And Ethan, we're going to end with this. The reason I think that more children and more teens are suffering from anxiety today than they were 10 to 15 years ago when I was a youth pastor is not because more kids are born with anxiety.
No.
There are more traumatic triggers happening in our culture today through social media, through movies, through TV, through experiences with kids. There are more traumatic experiences at younger ages that are resulting in anxiety. And these kids have to live with it the rest of their lives, and parents are just clueless. And they keep allowing their kids to be traumatized because they don't see it for what it is. Trauma.
Yep.
Through to entertainment, through friendships, through social media, through internets, through video, whatever. Trauma resulting in anxiety. And I'll let you finish your thoughts. What do you think?
I was just thinking about what Jordan was saying, and like from one of the biggest factors through social media is not necessarily the Instagram stuff with in comparison, because that's always been a thing, whether it's through social media or magazines.
It's just a lot.
It's a lot
more prevalent. I understand. I mean, it was always a thing for people to compare themselves with each other, but it's a lot worse now. But yes,
the biggest thing I think is a lot of these kids today, they're literally watching the news. like they're reading it and it's on their phone, like,
and it's traumatizing them.
There are kids there are kids in my youth group who are like, oh yeah, I just pulled up the news. They're just like, what do you know? I was looking at the news. And these kids are looking at stuff, and whether or not it should be something that they're reading or not, that they're it's in front of them. And unfortunately, like you said, you know, giving them unlimited access. We're also talking about stuff that it should be the parents' responsibility to like unpackage it for them and saying, here's how we deal with it.
So but here's they're how we're not. They're just, but they're not. Treating kids like adults.
Yeah, they're like they're letting them. Oh yeah, you're a teenager. You're responsible now. Yeah. Like maybe the kid's responsible, but emotionally they're not geared to handle that yet.
Yeah.
or they'll say, well, it won't get better. It'll get worse.
Oh, that's going to help their anxiety. All right, so we're going to end there tonight. Thank you for joining us online, and I apologize. We didn't really get into much help. We started with the help, so let's remember that. Philippians 4, 6 through 7. Anxiety is the opposite of peace. Anxiety is unrealistic, illogical, unbiblical fear for something that you should not be afraid of. And God says when you find yourself afraid of something that you shouldn't fear, by the way, even when you find yourself afraid of something you should fear, the answer is still the same. But definitely in this area, give it to God. And God said, let me take your unfounded fear and let me give you godly peace in its place. We will give you more helps. I promise there's a lot more to come. We'll wrap up some of the other dangers of anxiety, hopefully get into some of the helps by next Sunday night. If not, then we'll definitely be getting into it the following. Hope you can plan on joining us again a week from today, 6 o'clock Sunday night. Thank you and have a good night.